This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Caps fans. What is going on? It is time for What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Dude, what is Overcast?
You don't use Overcast? It's a great app.
You always say all of those things at the beginning of the show, and I know what like three of them are.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of choices out there for podcast players. I just want to make sure we're covering everybody. Overcast is one of them. It's sleek. It's a nice design. I like it more than the Apple podcast app. But
I've gotten used to the Apple one.
You know,
and we've lost our audience. They have this like to go or something. So like, you know, when you finish one, it'll boot up the next one very nicely.
No, they took away the to go playlist. Like now it's like most recent.
Are you sure? Cause I have it right now. I've been using it
there. Yeah. The to go is gone. I don't know if you haven't updated your phone recently, but they have the most recent and then that's it. They have unplayed. However, when you do unplayed, you can't maneuver like, cause there's certain shows I want to listen to before other shows. Like, I want to listen to the Walker Stalkers podcast on Monday, and if I downloaded that and another show on Monday, it'll do, you know, Nerdist or whatever. So I just want to be able to listen to what I want to listen to in my own playlist. I don't want to be told, like, you know, oh, you got to add all of them. If you're going to add this one, that's too much of a racket. Just give me freedom. Just say, here's your podcast. Do what you will with them.
Yeah, I guess that'll work. Hey, you know, it wasn't free, that loss last night.
You know what? That was rough. That is a very nice segue. Very nice segue.
I don't even know. That was a terrible segue. That didn't even make sense.
The Capitals went to Detroit up against the Red Wings. They, as we said, it was The Visit. You know, it was kind of like that recent movie came out. The Visit. The Capitals went to go visit their new their old friend Mike Green in his new digs in Detroit. Rough game though. It was a 1-0 loss. Only loss since we talked last. So we can definitely dive right into that one. But the Capitals, I thought they looked solid. I feel as if they kind of outplayed the Detroit Red Wings for one of the periods. You know, I only got to really like pay attention into the third period, which it seemed like both teams were pretty well matched. And that was a lucky goal they got. That was a crazy angle on Braden Holtby. I don't know how Holtby missed it, and I don't blame Holtby for it because it was insane. It was just such a sharp angle. There's nothing else Holtby could have done.
Well, I'll blame him for the goal, but definitely not for the loss. I mean, that goal was a bad one to give up. Any goalie is going to want that one back from that ridiculous angle. You definitely don't want to give up a goal. However, that's definitely not the reason the team lost. Yes, they were able to stay with the Red Wings. It was a very interesting and sort of intense to some extent game through the first two periods. And then they got that bogus goal in the third period, and then things went, you know, the Caps just couldn't get anything to get behind Mrazek. But it's hard to score a goal when the game plan is feed the puck to Ovechkin. Feed the puck to Ovechkin. Get it to him every single time, no matter what. And while that normally seems to be sort of the case when he's on the ice, the other guys are also trying to put the puck in the net. But last night, everyone was trying to get Ovechkin the puck. And even the Red Wings seemed like they were like, all right, we'll give it to you in the first period. Well, he had plenty of opportunities and couldn't score. Everyone but Mrazek. But then that, you know, the other guys have to step up. And no one was crashing the net. It was very easy for Mrazek to have a good game because no one was making life difficult for him.
He definitely did have a great game. I mean, nothing to take away from that guy. Absolutely awesome game. But I think it was the power play in the third period. Ovechkin, I mean, he was getting off every single shot. The Detroit Red Wings weren't trying to block him. They weren't trying to get in his space or whatever. He had plenty of ice to play with, and he just couldn't get it done. But nobody else was taking a shot on that power play. It was all, you know, move the puck around, get it to Ovechkin.
Like, Niskanen had like one or two.
Yeah, but it was very much, this is Ovechkin's game. Get him the puck, and we're going to do that. Why do you think that is? With these new guys, Justin Williams, TJ Oshie, we know what they're supposed to bring here. We know what Nick Backstrom can do. We know what Kuznetsov can do. Why were all these guys feeding it to Ovechkin? What was the big deal about Detroit?
Well, I think the plan was that they wanted to give him that goal with Fedorov in the building to beat his record.
Sure.
And I think that would have been much easier to do if everyone had been contributing, because then the Red Wings have to spread out their defense And it's much easier to score, especially, I mean, it would have been kind of bogus if it was an empty netter, but at least you give yourself that opportunity for a goal by working yourself out. And I think they made it more about the individual and not the team.
Right.
And while it would have been nice had he scored and was able to break the record in Detroit, the team getting a win is obviously more important than the individual record. And I think that, you know, but it also isn't necessarily just that game where the team isn't crashing the net. We've had problems with this team in the past where they're not crashing the net and making life difficult. And they did to some extent sometimes last night, but it wasn't enough, and they ended up with a loss.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you this. I thought this was very interesting. Towards the end of the second period, I was listening on the radio at this point. I was doing a little traveling last night. TJ Oshie got bumped down to the third line. Obviously, we've seen this season that Trotz likes to jumble up the line if he feels nothing's getting going. But is that a good sign or a bad sign for TJ Oshie that he goes down to the third line? Is Trotz really just looking for that, you know, special niche to see who's going to work well together? Or was he saying something about Oshie's play?
No, I think he was just last night trying to mix something up to see what was working, because nothing else was working at the moment. I don't think we're going to see him there tomorrow night. I think that was just him mixing up the lines to see what he could get going to try and get a goal and get this team sparked to get back in the game offensively.
Yeah, you know, this is very telling. We're over a month into the season here. In 2 weeks, it's going to be Thanksgiving, and if you guys have been Caps fans for a couple years now, you know, Thanksgiving week was when Bruce Boudreau was let go, and obviously
wasn't Glenn Hanlon the same? He also got released during. I want to say that he got fired at Thanksgiving or right around then.
Yeah, I think, you know, Black Friday is also the NHL's Black Friday as well.
Well, it's just with the Capitals and it's with their coaching stuff.
Yeah.
No, but Trotz is not getting fired.
No, I'm not. No, that's not the point I'm trying to make here. I'm trying to say, like, since, you know, I kind of want to say, like, Thanksgiving is that time in the NHL where, you know, it's not just, you know, getting used to your teammates, getting used to your team. At the Thanksgiving point, that's kind of like where the NHL players and coaches and staff and everything goes, all right, who are you going to be this season? We've given you time to kind of maneuver yourself and figure out what's going on. Like, do you see anything happening within the next 2 weeks of guys like TJ Oshie moving around? Is there a chance, like, we see Ovi and Backy, you know, starting up a game or two with Backstrom moving back up to the top line? Do you see any kind of changes from what we've seen as a whole on this season so far?
Well, I just recently put the Swedish guys together. You know, didn't work last night, and so it's a little tough to see. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he stuck with it for another game or two, but Trotz seems to like to move the lineup around if he thinks as though it's just not going to work. I wouldn't be surprised if Backstrom ended up on the first line with Ovechkin and Oshie, but because Nesov's still doing well. I mean, if you look at, it seemed like, and I'm not just picking on him because it's entertaining, but Marcus Johansson, every time something went wrong last night offensively, it seemed like he was involved. He got the puck knocked off his stick. So did Burakovsky.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw the article from Japer's Rink today. I think it was Japer's Rink. About Burakovsky and how he's just holding the puck too long. He's had opportunities to score, and he just waits too long.
Yeah.
He puts himself at a bad angle, or he gets the puck knocked off of a stick.
That's definitely something I saw in the Red Wings game, as well as this past Saturday night's game up against the Toronto Maple Leafs. That was definitely something. Which, by the way, guys, you know I'm a big Baltimore guy. It's my hometown. It's where I grew up and everything. I found a Caps bar. It's Hudson Streak Stackhouse. It's right behind the Safeway in Canton, where the big smokestack is. Literally, it's across the street from that. That's why they call it the Stackhouse. But they show Caps games with sound. That is key for a bar, with sound, and you see a bunch of other Caps fans there. And all of us at that bar on Saturday were talking about the fact that Burakovsky was holding onto that puck way too long, wasn't taking the shot, and same thing with Johansson. You know, he passes way too much. Burakovsky, he seems a little he's shy on when he's got the puck, on when to shoot it. I don't know if that's something Trotz is going to have to work with him about, but he definitely seems as if he doesn't have the confidence to really take a shot on net, which is crazy because he was one of the saviors of the Rangers series last year. I think he got the game-winning goal. I think it was game four up against the Rangers last year in the playoffs.
He got both goals.
Yeah, which is...
They won like 2-1 or something?
Yeah, yeah, I think that's what it was. So he was the star of that game. So what is it... Why is Burakovsky now a little gun-shy about taking a shot?
I mean, without being the locker room or in the coaching staff, it's tough to say as to whether...
You're a coach, you should know, right?
Whether it is the sort of the coaching staff is telling him, hey, we want you to be more of a setup man and feed these guys the puck, or if it's he's just sort of trying to change it, not change his game, but like be able to do more, and he's looking for the perfect shot.
Right.
And now I think maybe he hasn't been scoring and producing offensively, so maybe he's pressing a little bit and trying to look for that perfect opportunity instead of just taking shots and constantly having them saved or something like that, or that's what he's thinking is going to happen. So it'd be good to see him get back to the basics, take shots on net, look for rebounds. Not everything is going to be a perfect play where you go around two players, you make some ridiculous roof shot, knock the water bottle off into the air, and the water explodes everywhere. It's not going to happen. Not everything is a highlight reel goal. Just get a goal. He gets a couple of goals, one or two, maybe three, and I think things start slowing down for him, and he starts getting a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, and that's what we want to see, because Burakovsky definitely showed that he can handle the NHL weight of a season. He looked good last year. I mean, he did play a lot with the Bears, but he looked good in the playoffs. So hopefully Burakovsky can kind of work off that that shyness he has, some of that that Swedish part of him, because it seems to be a Swede thing about just holding onto that puck a little bit too long. But anyway, I want to talk a little bit about Saturday night's game. That was the first time the Caps went to the shootout, so that was definitely a little interesting. Again, the 3-on-3 overtime was, a lot of fun.
I still have yet to see the team play an overtime game.
It's definitely interesting because it was there's so much ice. You know, literally, you take a wide shot, and there comes the other team right down the pipe. So
I wonder if that will make the European players better in 3-on-3 because they're used to larger ice surface.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Probably not, but it's interesting to think about.
Yeah, well, remember in Sochi for the Olympics, I think it was the first USA game, might have been the second USA game, Carlson got burnt by some, I don't even remember what team it was. He got burnt, and the opposing team was able to score on the U.S. because they went wide, really wide out on the ice, and Carlson, not used to playing on such a big ice surface, wasn't prepared for that, and he just got sliced up. But anyway, so the 3-on-3 was interesting, but we got to see the shootout. Ovechkin, it was funny. Again, at the Stackhouse, all of us were like, Ovi is not the shootout king. He is not good at that. That is one of his flaws. Ovi doesn't have many on the ice, but a flaw is definitely him on the shootouts. But here he comes. He's the savior of the game. He's able to get the goal and win that one in the shootout against Toronto. It was a good game on Saturday. The shootout, though, I was expecting a little bit more from TJ Oshie. You know, he's supposed to be the shootout king, but I guess you can't just win them all.
Well, no, but that was a nice one to get. I thought it was funny. He was the fourth shooter, right?
Ovechkin was, yeah.
Yeah, so he wasn't even in the top three. So it's so weird because he came into his career in the shootouts being just freaking amazing. I mean, he was great at it. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, nope, 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 nope. Could not score a goal in the shootout to save his life. And it was so weird. But I think it was more surprising. I didn't see the game, but I thought it was more surprising that TJ Oshie missed us.
Yeah, you know, that was one of the big things, him coming in. He's the shootout king. He was...
No, I'm not going to make every single one.
Right, absolutely, yeah. He was, what, Team USA? How many rounds did that go in Sochi?
I don't even remember. I had to DVR that game because I'm not waking up that early, but that was ridiculous.
Well, let me tell you a little flashback to everybody who may not listen to the shows back then. I think that was a snow day. I used to work at a school.
And that was a weekend.
Was it? No, it wasn't a weekend. Definitely.
No, it was against – yeah, because I remember I'm sitting there because we had friends coming over because they're helping to paint our kitchen.
Oh, very nice.
And
domestic life.
I was like, nope, not helping until the game is over. And my girlfriend was like, fine. So she had watched it while I was – I think it must have been like a 7 or 8 o'clock game, and she had gotten up and was watching the game because she gets up earlier than I do. And like, so she knew what was happening, and like the whole shootout, she kept messing with me. I was like, God damn. Cause I didn't know, I wouldn't look up anything. I just sat there and was like, I'm going to watch the game and I'm not going to know what happened. And it was that was intense.
Yeah. That was a fun game to watch. I did watch that live. All right. If you're saying it's the weekend, I thought it was a snow day and I had off work, but either way,
nah, dude, I'm pretty sure it was the weekend.
Either way,
there may have been snow on the ground.
There could have been. I got up early. That's all I remember is I got up early specifically to watch hockey and watch it live from Russia. And I love that. I think that's fun. I have the week off in between Christmas and New Year's. I'm going to do the same thing for the World Juniors because I think it's on the other side of the world this year. But I don't know. We'll talk about that as
Sweden.
I think it's in Sweden. I'm not positive, but we'll talk about that next month when the holidays roll around. So speaking of international hockey, the World Cup's coming up, and Barry Trotz got named to Team Canada, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, I kind of thought they were done announcing people for the team or coaches or whatever, and because we talked about it last week and around the NHL, and then I saw like I don't know. Early this week, he got named to the team, and I was like, well, how many freaking coaches do these professionals need? I mean, it's basically an all-star team. They need more of them, so I don't know, whatever. Any coaches for the rest of us?
It's very funny, given the fact that Canada is kind of like, here's our coach, here's our assistant coach, here's this, here's that. Team USA is just kind of like, we have a head coach. That's about it. Sorry, guys.
We'll figure out the rest later.
Yeah.
Who cares? Well, I'd probably be like Capuano and
Bilesma. Yeah, probably.
Something
yeah.
like that.
Let's go back into Caps world, though, about the game here. So Ovechkin potentially could have beaten Fedorov's goal-scoring record on Saturday, but he had a goal waved off due to goalie interference.
Of course it was.
And now here the Capitals are in Detroit. The Capitals, Holpe... kind of blatantly, he cheated a little bit. It wasn't blatant. Puck was underneath his glove. It was inside the net, and he chucks it out of the net. The refs say no goal. They do the review, and they still say no goal due to the fact that they can't see the puck cross the line because it's underneath his glove. So what do we do here with coaches' challenge and the referees and everything? Because this isn't the first time on Saturday, this isn't the first time the Capitals have been burnt by coaches' challenges and goals waved off. They've affected the games. I don't think the NHL or the refs know the rules to this new part of the game because I feel as if they're making it up as they go along. Some stuff is goals, some is not. Because just looking in this past month or so, you see some of those coaches' challenges, and I think maybe one has gone in the Caps' favor. And I'm not saying like the refs are doing like favoring the other team or whatever. I don't believe in that kind of stuff. But there's been some questionable calls here about goal, no goal, because I feel as if a lot of those times the Capitals are getting a little cheated because I feel as if they're getting goals waved off for goal interference when there is none.
Yeah. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with the coach's challenge per se. I think the problem is the goalies, and it's not on every play. So, I mean, I'm not saying this is everything, single one, but the goalies take that opportunity to embellish, or they put themselves specifically in the way. They come out a little bit further than they might normally do,
right,
so that they can be interfered with. Now, do they know the shot's going to go in the net? No. You know, is it every single time this is happening? No, but there are some, and it seems to be very not judgmental. That sounds a little bit more like feelings based than what I mean to say, but it seems like it's a little more subjective as to which one is viewed as goaltender interference, because the Cavs have had a couple taken away that were goal that should have been goals that they go, oh, it's goaltender interference, and then they've had goals against them where they've said, oh, well, the goalie wasn't interfered with.
Right.
I think there needs to be more specifics as to what counts as goaltender interference and more of a look at in terms of, is the player getting in the way or are they being pushed in the way? If the defenseman or a forward, you know, from the defensive team is near the net, if they cause that opposing player to interfere with the goalie, it shouldn't be goaltender interference because the home team is causing that to happen. Because if you allow that to happen, and to some extent they are by making these bad calls, players are going to be, oh, you know what? No, I pushed him. He's interfered with the goalie. That's illegal. You can't do that. And you're going to see these things where goals are going to get taken away. It's going to become more of a subjective with the specific referees. And they have that with the NFL to a decent extent where these guys are having issues in terms of making the correct calls. So, it's a problem. And it's, you know, I knew when these coaches' challenges are going to happen and they're going to be looking at replays a lot more often and trying to make the game more honest or whatever, that you're going to have these problems. And it's sort of what it's just like when the NFL started going to all the coaches' challenge and stuff. You're going to have these issues, and it's something they have to work through.
Yeah, you know, it is frustrating as a hockey fan in general to see. I think the coaches' challenge is a good idea because there's definitely been some bad calls out there on the ice. But at the same time, I feel as if, you know, if a ref sees a player, you know, graze a goalie or whatever, touches them anyway, oh, it's goalie interference. I don't believe that. I feel as if the rule should say it specifically didn't allow him to play the puck. You know, if a player is almost like standing on a glove or in the way of a stick.
he's taking the goalie's glove and won't give it back.
Right.
He's holding it over his head like a bully in elementary school. It's mine now. I can't have it. No.
Now he's pointing and laughing at the goalie.
Pointing and laughing at him and waving at everyone that is around to stare and laugh at the goaltender.
Oh, the goalie's crying. Oh, he's crying. Yeah.
No, he's left the ice. He's taken the puck and gone home. You're not going to be nice. You can't play with my stuff. No, I mean, it seems right now it's very subjective. I mean, I know it's supposed to go back to Toronto and wherever else, but from what we've seen so far, and it's just based on Caps games, and there's, you know, 14 other games that could be happening on any given night, it seems like it's very – it's a problem. And they're going to have to keep looking at it and working out the kinks and seeing what's working and doesn't work. And, is it better than sort of – not being, I mean, is it better than just the referees being the only ones that have the discretion to say whether a play gets to be reviewed or not? I don't know. I like the coach's challenge. I'm disappointed there's not a flag that's thrown on the ice or like waved in the air or something. Like, I want more of a gesture, you know, that fans can see of where he's like, no, challenge. You know, you got to like do a big C, like the YMCA thing. Right. You gotta do that. That'll work, you know, something like that. But something that's more entertaining for the fans.
I
like the coach's challenge, but the goaltender interference thing is just—it's become ridiculous to the extent where usual unbiased announcers, Benignani and Locklear, even they're like, "Come on, this is bogus."
Yeah, is there a limit on how many challenges there are in a game? I don't even.
I think
know
they
that
get
much.
One.
They get one. Okay.
And it's based on your timeout. So if it's like the NFL, like if you don't have a timeout, you can't use a challenge.
Right.
And I think if you get your challenge wrong,
you're
you
charged
lose
the timeout.
That timeout.
Right.
So like the NFL in that way.
I'm intrigued to see what this does to the game as a whole, because I feel as if a lot of people will let goals go at the beginning of a game and won't challenge it. And I feel as if, like, if it's a deciding score, you know, towards the end of Saturday's game, that Ovechkin got that shot off. And, you know, there were a couple minutes left in the third. Do they just throw it out there hoping that the ref will see an interference in some way? Because, you know, I think there's always going to be contact between a player and a goalie. I think that's just going to happen as you're playing around that net. It's tight quarters, you know? So I'm just intrigued to see what this does to the game, because I feel as if they're trying to speed it up by not doing the 4-on-4 overtime. But at the same time, you're slowing it down and everyone's standing around when you're doing this challenge and you're reviewing stuff.
It definitely slows the game down, not on the ice, obviously, but it makes the players have to stand around and watch. I mean, it's an interesting problem. You say the same thing with the NFL, all the challenge. The NFL's slow enough as it is with those games.
My God, I feel like watching – this is a little rant as well. I love football. I love the Ravens. Go listen to the call. But, my God, I feel as if there's somebody getting hurt on every single play in football now. I feel as if, like, if
– everybody's Albert Hainsworth. I'm lying here. I'm injured, guys. Help me off.
Yeah, the last Ravens game I watched, I don't even think the Chargers had an offensive line. I feel as if everyone got hurt in some way. It's just crazy. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's on for another podcast. Anything else we should talk about in Caps World?
Oh, let's see. Do we talk about Orpik getting hurt?
Yeah, we don't really know anything, though. He left the game.
Yeah, he didn't practice today, so we don't know. He left the game in the second period with a lower body injury, so who knows? And hopefully it's not a big deal. Maybe he took a knock and they just didn't want to risk it. It's better. It's the beginning of the season. You don't want to risk a guy getting injured and losing it for a longer portion of the season. It's not the playoffs, so you got to push it. So hopefully he's all right. I guess Beagle, you'd said to tweak something, but he played all game, so I guess he's okay.
Yeah, he was a game time decision. I don't think he practiced before the Detroit game, but as long as Beagle's standing, Beagle's going to play. I still go back to that story where he was under Dale Hunter.
Did you say a Beagle like he's a dog?
No, I did not say that.
Because that's what it sounded like.
Okay. No, I'm pretty sure I said
that would have been hilarious.
I'm pretty sure I said Jay Beagle, but when he was under Dale Hunter, it was the playoffs, and I think he had a broken ankle or something like that, and he got his foot. He got that foot in the skate, and they're like, dude, you can't play. He's like, no, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm going out there.
Screw you, I'm playing.
Yeah. They didn't let him out there.
My mom.
They let him out there. So he might be the guy who's bullying the goalies. But yeah, tough dude. If as long as he's breathing and standing, I feel as if he's going to play the game no matter what. So I got no worries there.
No, I think he'll be all right. I think a lot of these guys, especially in the playoffs, if they can open their eyes, they're going to try and get out there on the ice. And so hopefully Orpik is not hurt for too long.
If at all. I mean, we don't know.
I imagine if they thought he was going to be out for a significant period of time, they would have recalled somebody today.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I mean, if he's going to be out for tomorrow's game against the Flyers, then they'll recall someone, you know, pretty early in the morning so he can make it down in time for practice. Who do you think they're going to recall?
Well, that's what we're so connected here because I was about to just ask that.
We are on top of things.
So do you move up?
We are.
Do you move up somebody like Orlov and Schmidt and then you put in Chorney and you just have somebody from Hershey to be in the press box in case?
I totally forgot about Chorney.
Chorney is a possibility. Or do you have just Chorney slide in there? I think you need somebody to be in the press box just in case. Need somebody.
At the position. Let's look at the defenseman. Can they call up Bergdorfer just so I can see his name on the back of a capster?
What was
that guy's name?
Carrick. Connor Carrick. We haven't seen him in
Carrick,
a whole season.
You could recall Madison Bowie. You could recall
Bowie. No, you don't call up Bowie now. He doesn't have enough experience.
If it's for one game, you give him up a cup of coffee. He's got, what, 9 games? He's got 3 points plus 1.
Do you give him cream and 2 sugars as well, or just a coffee? Just coffee black.
Nah, he's giving him a cup of coffee. Young guy, he's getting none of that extra crap.
Yeah.
No, I think you could go and play. You could bring him up. No, my guess is if they think it's just for one game, they put Chorney on the third pairing and bump up Schmidt. Or if they're worried about, you know, sort of messing with what's working, it's a tough call. Do you put Olsner and Carlson back together?
That's interesting.
Nah, you don't mess up all. That would be nuts. No. I think you just put Chorney with Carlson, maybe bump them down to the second pairing and allow Chorney to play his game with Carlson for one game and they'll be all right. If it's going to be longer, then maybe you recall somebody. Because I don't know if they're entirely comfortable.
Interesting.
Schmidt's been doing well. Orlov's been doing well. I would say you don't mix them up. You plug Chorney in if it's for one game. If I think it's for longer than that, maybe you recall somebody and give them the opportunity if you're not confident in Chorney's abilities, which – I mean, Schmidt's been doing well, so I don't know.
I think that's the only reason Chorney's not playing is the fact that Schmidt's been doing well. Like I think we were saying there could have been a battle for that sixth spot, but Schmidt's doing all right. I think that's the only reason that Chorney hasn't been playing. I think they're both viable options. I think they both do a good job.
Well,
so
viables. That's an interesting choice of words. I don't like a viable, but if he, you know.
Chorney's got more experience in the NHL, but Schmidt.
So do a lot of players. Doesn't mean they should be there,
right? But Schmidt is definitely a talent. He's looked great. He's been on fire since he came back. So it's been good
since he's been back in the lineup. He has played well.
Yes, very well, very well. We forgot to bring up Stan Galiev was sent down on a conditional stint.
That was my next thing. See, we talked about Hershey. That's going to be a nice segue.
There you go. Yeah, talking about that. But apparently he's been lighting the world on fire in the NHL. I think he has, what, like 4 goals in – or maybe it's 2 goals in 4 games, something
he's
like that?
2 goals in 3 games. He can only stay for 2 weeks before he has to return, and he would have to pass through waivers if they tried to send him down.
Right, so they were able to get past this by saying it's just conditioning.
Yeah, and conditioning assignment – it requires that you only are there for a certain amount of time. So he has to be back before 2 weeks. And I think when I read when he was sent down that Trotz wants him to get a couple of games in because he's just been kind of like practicing. He hasn't played.
Right.
And that he wants him to potentially get into the lineup when he comes back up to the cap. So that'll be interesting to see if he can fight his way into the team and be able to play some games when he makes his way back up. I don't know who he's going to replace necessarily, though.
Yeah, didn't he only play 1 game so far?
For the Caps? Yeah, something like that. But that's not even the biggest issue. It's like, who do you replace him with?
Right, because it seems as if Lotta and Stevenson are kind of
way around. Who does he replace?
Yeah.
That makes more sense. Lotta and Stevenson. It's the PH. It throws me off.
Stevenson.
He spells his name wrong. Stevenson. Come on. We went to the school the same name. We know this. Stevenson, he's a center. and Galiev is not.
Right.
So that's not going to work. Chimera has played well, so he's not coming out, even though he can't score a goal in the game against Detroit. That was a terrible opportunity. Although I don't think he expected Mike Green to completely abandon the normal style of defense and just body check him. I got to also wonder how many times last night after Green did something near a capsule that they were just like, F you, Greeny. Like, you have to imagine it's like at one point, I think he checked like along the boards, and you have to imagine that there was some sort of either like laughter or like profanity going one way or the other, like for fun.
I think just one single tear may have rolled down Like's cheek, right. One of the Sarah McLachlan songs starts playing. Like, I thought we were buds. Come on, man. I did like the back and forth Ovi and Greeny had before the game.
Oh, I'm gonna break his stick.
Yeah, he's like, that stealth stick. Yeah, that stealth stick that he loves. I'm gonna slash it. And Greeny came back and just said, if he can catch me. So,
oh, they're dorks. Yeah, I don't know how you replace Galliam. Like, whose spot does he take? He can't take Stevenson's place because Stevenson is a center. And as we mentioned, Galliam is not. I mean, Burakovsky, if he doesn't wake up, but I don't imagine that's necessarily going to happen.
Like Wilson, I mean.
No, they're not taking out either one of those guys.
Yeah, I feel, I mean, Brooks Lake hasn't really done. He hasn't really lit the world on fire, but he's still playing good hockey. He's not not scoring goals, though.
Yeah, well, that's true. He played the third least amount of ice time last night. Huh. Brooks Lake. Well, Wilson was second least with 8 minutes, and Stevenson.
We do have to bring this up about Wilson. Wilson took really two stupid penalties in the game on Saturday. Real just dumb penalties, getting into fights and everything.
Yeah, he had regressed a little bit.
And Trotz benched him. I mean, after that second...
Good, because he's an idiot.
After that second penalty, he's like, you're sitting. Sit down. You're not playing again tonight. Just sit on the bench. So, Tom Wilson, you know, people do regress, you know, as they're trying to make some changes in their business lives. But, yeah, he definitely went back to the old Tom Wilson. He got easily fired up. You know, he did not have a cool head on that game, but...
No, I would say he did not.
No. So he sat for the rest of the game. And I like Trotz. I like Trotz doing that for him. I mean, I think a guy like Tom Wilson needs that.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do something stupid and put your team at a disadvantage and potentially cost them a game, then, yeah, you're going to go get comfortable on the bench because you shouldn't be playing if you're going to be dumb. That's why I'm going to put that on like a poster board.
You
don't get to play if you're dumb.
Where's our buddy from Chicago? That's the
dude, there it is.
There's
don't
the meme
get to
you
play
make.
If you're dumb.
Let's see what's his name.
Hook us up.
At Alex Brownstown. That's what you do. There's your meme right there, buddy.
I never noticed his handle. That's clever.
There you go.
No, I think let's put that on a meme.
Yes.
Whatever it's called.
Yes. What the Puck Memes Day. That's what we should do.
No.
There you go.
This is not going to end well for me.
All right.
It's just not.
All right. Anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Nope.
No? All right.
I mean, you got a solid win over Boston, a win over Toronto, and the game against Detroit, I think, was just a fluke of everyone's trying to force feed Ovechkin. Just let it happen when it happens. Don't try and make it happen.
Yeah, you know, I really
thought it would have been great if he had done it in the first period when Fedorov was in the booth with Beninati and Lachlan. That would have been perfect.
Would have been great. Sometimes it doesn't work out.
And he came close. It seemed like even the Red Wings fans were like hoping he would do it.
Yeah, that was odd. That's definitely a little interesting. The fact that people were
They were getting kind of excited every time he had a shot on net.
Hey, well, it's history, man. It's history. Well, how often do you get to see history being made in person?
Well, it's just kind of cool to see opposing team's fans. They're like, you know, going for a guy on your own team and not punching people like they do in the NBA. That's an old Pistons Pacers reference for those of you out there with Ron Artest. I'm not calling him by what he wants to go by now because he's a freaking sociopath.
What does he want to go by now?
Is it Ben Wall? He changed his name to Meta World Peace.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Yeah. And
I'm not a basketball fan. I have no idea.
Fight with? I follow the NBA to some extent.
Yeah.
Sort of. So that's the Caps world. What are they, 10-4 right now?
Yeah, I mean, really nothing to complain about.
That's still pretty damn good.
Yeah, this is one of the best starts I think they've had since 91-92.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, they're second in the Metropolitan. That name is still stupid. They've played one less game than the Rangers. They're 2 points behind them. I mean, the Rangers are off to a good start. That's expected. I have a point up on the Islanders, 2 up on Pittsburgh. They're 12 up on Columbus. Well, Blue Jackets, it was nice while it lasted, wasn't it?
You know, there is one thing that the Capitals, I don't know how to fix it because I feel as if they've got everything they need here. They just need a win over a good, decisive team. You know, I feel like a lot of the goals that they've had or a lot of the wins they've had already have been against
they
teams.
They beat up Chicago.
They started a little bit slow, exactly. I need them to defeat somebody.
They beat up Boston.
Yeah, they need to defeat somebody like the Red Wings, like the Penguins, like Detroit. I want a decisive win against a team of equal or more of a better caliber.
They got more points than Detroit right now.
They do, absolutely. But I feel a lot better about this team, even though I do feel great. Don't get me wrong. I feel great about this team.
I don't ever feel great about this team.
I feel
comfortable.
You feel comfortable.
Sometimes.
I want them to be able to come out, and I want it to be a big game on a big stage, and I want them to be able to come out with a win. Because you need those big wins. You need to go against those teams that are going to make you play your best game. So that's what I want to see. I want to see a big game like that. But anyway, that's it for Caps World. So guys, hang with us. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Down on the Farm. But here is a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's see. Since we last talked, Hershey went 1-0-1 with a win over Lehigh Valley. And
Lehigh Valley.
Lost. Lehigh Valley, their favorite team to play. And a shootout loss to St. John's. And those two games, as we mentioned, Galliev had in two games, he had three goals. Not two goals in three games, other way around. So he definitely can tear up the AHL. The Bears have points in five straight games.
All right.
Though two of those are shootout losses.
Wow.
But that's still pretty good. The Bears are on the road on Friday in Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, followed by back-to-back home games over the weekend against Bridgeport and Rochester. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-1 in the past week with wins over Elmira and Norfolk. The Stingrays are back at it on Friday and Saturday with back-to-back home games against Orlando. Now, if I could take a moment, I have something I would like to bring to the Stingrays IT guys' attention, or maybe it's ECHL's guys. I don't really know who runs their websites, but your website, not so great. Schedule, fine. I had a problem with that last season. You figured that out, the scheduling thing. It works out great. Now, after the team has played a game on your schedule, it says whether it was a win or a loss, kind of important. But your lack of game recaps and box scores, subpar. I mean, come on, guys. I go on there, and I'm trying to look up what happened so we can actually, like, bring some more information about South Carolina and the Stingrays and maybe the ECHL. And I have to go all the way to the ECHL website and then go back and find their stupid game before you will actually tell me anything about it. Why are they not on the Stingrays website or even a link to the ECHL ones on the Stingrays website? Subpar job, guys. Subpar.
Wow.
That's what's going on down on the farm.
Well, they put out some pretty good videos, usually, sometimes.
The Stingrays do. I mean, I want to see some recaps on their web. They don't have to be long. They give me two paragraphs. Give me a box score so I can see how these guys are doing on your website. I don't have to go searching through the forest that is the ECHL website.
The forest. All right.
I wanted to say jungle, but I didn't know which one to go with. I thought Forest would have been more random.
I like Forest. Forest was good. That was good.
I think it works.
All right. All right. Well, go Bears. Go Stingrays.
Don't go to your websites.
Just go to their Facebook pages. It's way easier. Got more info there anyway.
Do they have box scores?
I don't know.
That would be nice.
Check them out. Check them out. Maybe they do. They post a lot of info. They do. But anyway.
Oh, good to know.
That's it for what's going on down on the farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, guys, we are going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff to talk about. Even though the Caps had a day off today, the NHL still going full on, strong. These guys are all over the place. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
I think it's funny that you said we have a lot to talk about because you really don't.
Well,
it's been a pretty quiet week. I got two things of notes. That's it. And none of them were a suspension or a fine. So you know what?
Unbelievable.
Well done. Well done, players. None of you were dicks this past week.
Well, are you sure? You said you don't drink. Are you sure you're not drinking tonight? Because you were friggin' hilarious tonight.
I just have apple juice in this. I do have. I have a Braden Holtby collector's cup. I have two of the collector's cups, and they're the same one. Are they doing? I don't know. I have to go see. I'm going to the game next Thursday.
Oh yeah.
So I gotta get another collector's cup. Hopefully it's not Holtby because it's getting freaking ridiculous. It was last season, so they'll have new ones. Ooh, I wonder what they'll have. Let's start in Toronto, where Phil Housley, Chris Pronger, Sergei Fedorov, and Nicholas Lidstrom were inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame on Monday, so congratulations to them. The Hall also inducted U.S. defenseman Angela Ruggiero, Hurricanes owner Peter Karamanos Jr., and former Hall of Fame chairman Bill Hay. Housley played for the Caps from 96 to 98, while Fedorov played with them from 07 to 09. And finally, Montreal revealed their Winter Classic jerseys, which they actually aren't so bad.
Really? I didn't see this. I missed this.
They're kind of not bad. They're basically like a reverse of their current jerseys.
Oh,
I'm kind of digging them. They had Max Pacioretty, PK Subban, and Brendan Gallagher were on hand to model the jerseys for those in attendance. That's the lack of news from the past week in the NHL.
Dude, I am digging these jerseys. I like them.
I like them. They're actually pretty cool. I'm still bummed about the Caps one last year. Totally missed out on a great opportunity to introduce those red ones that they're using. When are they using those red ones?
If you look under the Caps promotions, that's where you'll find that information.
Thanks, Brandon, who apparently works for that team now.
Because, you know, apparently wearing a jersey is some sort of promotion that they
Did they already get rid of that promotion for the Oshie bobblehead? Because I'm going to be upset if that's the case.
No, it was the family pack, wasn't it?
December 16th.
December 16th is the first time you get to see those red jerseys.
Oh, there it is. Holiday packs. Not the holiday pack. Bobblehead. Actually, I do kind of, because I think there was a game I was looking at going. Or, well, two. Duh. Oh, Anaheim. Friday, January 22nd. The return again of Boudreaux.
Maybe.
No, they're doing better now, aren't they?
I mean, sure, but still.
No, I think he's sticking around. I think they're not going to rock the boat there.
All right.
Yeah, they're 5-7. They're 6 points off of Vancouver in first.
I'm pretty proud of the Canadiens for actually mixing it up just a little bit on these jerseys. Because every other time they've been in a Heritage Classic or whatever, it's like, hey, you know how we have that blue line? This time it's going to be thicker. And then that would be the only change they make to their jerseys. So, yeah, for them to go white jerseys, blue line, white C, red H, I'm a fan. I like that.
I like them. Not too bad. Not too shabby.
Let's just see if I should find it. I was going through a lot of old pictures a week or so ago. There's a picture of me from when I was like maybe like 10, and I'm in a Montreal Canadiens shirt. And I don't know. I don't remember ever
why?
Being. I don't know. I don't remember ever being a Canadiens fan.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know why I was in a Canadiens shirt, but I was for some reason. I don't know. Weird. But
I think I followed him when I was a little kid because I had a good goalie in one of the NHL games. Because they had Patrick Waugh.
All right, guys. Looking ahead next week, there is a game on Wednesday for Wednesday night rivalry night. The Capitals are back in Detroit up against the Red Wings on Wednesday, November 18th. So we will be giving you What the Puck a day early, and we will be recording on Tuesday. So that means we have two games to talk about until we meet again. On Thursday, November 12th, the Capitals are in Philadelphia up against the Flyers and Michael Neuwirth. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can see that locally on Comcast Sportsnet. Then on Friday, November November 13th, the Capitals are at home welcoming the Calgary Flames to town to the phone booth. That game, 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. So, Coach, back-to-back games. What game does Grubauer get?
Calgary.
Want to give him the Calgary game?
Yeah, I think so. That would be my guess. I think being in Philly, you're already going to have a hard enough time dealing with their douche fans. I think you go out and you give that one to Holtby and have Grubauer at home against a Calgary team that's struggling. You know, they're 5-10-1, so they're not doing that great. Philadelphia is 5-7-3. They're marginally better, but, you know, it doesn't really make a difference. But I think the fact that the game is in Philly, you give the game to Holtby, and then you have – I mean, he played well with the exception of that one fluke mistake against Detroit. So you put Holtby in against the Flyers, you have Grubauer against Calgary, and you're doing all right.
Yeah,
you could honestly play Holtby in both because you have a long break after that.
Sorry, it's not till the next Wednesday. Coach Trotz might do that, you know? I kind of feel as if he wants to give Grubauer a little bit of ice time, though. So
I expect him to see him against Calgary, but I also kind of wouldn't be surprised if they played Holtby in both.
Yeah, so should be two very good games. Hopefully good games that we can talk about next Tuesday night, and you guys will get to hear it on Tuesday, Wednesday morning. So I think that's pretty much it for the show. So if you guys want to continue the conversation, all you got to do is tweet to Coach Dan or I. I am available on the Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me incredibly rarely at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads. It actually is a very good website for all kinds of Caps information. Give them a follow on – is it follow on Twitter still? I don't know. They're changing their name of things all the time. You eventually be able – is it like, follow? Who cares? Just find them on Twitter. Check out what they got to send to you. Check out their website. It's great. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck, about the call, all the kind of stuff that we do. Go over to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Brooks, like us over there, and we'll let you know whenever a new show comes out.
you that hurt? Was so bad.
I was hoping you weren't going to pick
Sorry,
up on that.
I hate to interrupt, but good Lord, dude, that was tough.
I was hoping I was going to get you because I was going to do it again for the next one. And I thought the first time you're going to be like, did he just say? Maybe I heard that wrong.
He just tried to get away with that, didn't he? that was painful.
All right, so go to Facebook.com/WTP podcast as well as following us on Twitter at @WTP_podcast. Brooks, like us over there on Facebook. We're always posting funny.
Shaking my head at you.
I can't see. You don't have a webcam. You know.
I don't know where it is. I legitimately don't know where it is.
It should be attached to your laptop. That's what it should be.
I also don't have one of those.
apparently Coach Dan's on Windows 95. He's
no,
got a gateway.
I got a desktop. I'm on Windows. I don't know what I'm on. Windows 7?
Well, they got 10 out now, right? I don't.
Yeah, I know, but my friend who's a computer guy told me to wait, let them work out the kinks, and then upgrade to it.
All right. You listen to that guy. So, yeah. So,
well, you know him too. It's Will.
I know. I figured as much. I'm sure he's sick of me by now. I always ask him questions.
Oh, it's okay. We all are.
He's a good guy. Go check out his work. WhatThePuckCaps.BrandoCash.com. He helped us build that website as well. So check us out over there. Guys, help us out, man. Spread the word about What the Puck. Be social on the web with us. Like we said, we're available on Facebook and Twitter. But we are also listenable. People can hear us. They can stream us. They can download us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast, something that Coach Dan knows nothing about.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Check it out. It's an app. It's free. Download it. Enjoy it. Have a good time with it. But let people know you are a Caps fan and that you listen to What the Puck, and they should too. So share us on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you're social on the web, say I'm a Caps fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. And while you're over there on Twitter, contact the Caps Radio Network and tell them they should be carrying What the Puck on their 24/7 network. We are only like a half hour or maybe a little bit under an hour. I think
we're not that long of a show. You can throw us on there.
Throw us on there at 3 a.m. Why not? Who's going to listen then?
let's not go crazy.
I will settle for an early AM shift of our show on the Caps Radio Network. It's okay. The Caps Hour, Caps Fan Hour is at 2 a.m. I'll take it. No problem. I'll do it.
We'll get all the fans that are stoners or insomniacs, apparently.
Let's talk about Funyuns and how they're shaped like pucks sometimes. Freak some people out, you know? That'd be great. I don't know.
Dude, I don't know. You're freaking me out.
I've never.
What the hell are you talking about? Moving on.
I just drink. I don't know. So that is it for the show this week. Like we said, two games until we talk again up against the Flyers and Flames. So you guys, whether you're going to be in Philly or if you're going to be in D.C. or if you're on your couch watching it at home, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.